Well, it was January, and all of Vermont was covered in a thick blanket of white snow. Though winter was only beginning, for hermit thrushes Otis and Sweet Song, it seemed as if it had already gone on forever. Now, Otis and Sweet Song were wonderful and kind birds, but, well, both were very curious and easy to distract. And when they got together, well, they tended to lose track of things. This year, that would cost them dearly, for they had missed the winter migration and were forced to hunker down in a sheltered thicket behind Farmer Jed's barn. As January wore on, they found they were managing, due in no small part to Farmer Jed's bird feeders, which kept their bellies quite full. Thank you. Sitting as they did day after day in the sheltered thicket, they had much time to talk and to think and to observe the comings and goings of the world. It was only a matter of time, really, before the curiously minded Otis and Sweet Song began to talk about more than just the weather.
Why is the sky blue?
Why do worms come out when it rains?
But the topic they talked most about was people.
Why do they do what they do?
Why do they live in houses instead of the forest?
And this one, which got talked about almost every day.
Why is it that people fight so much with one another?
Otis was impatient with humans, observing that they were nothing like hermit thrushes at all.
Hermit thrushes have no clothes to separate them, no money to fight about. We all speak the same language. People, though, they all look so different and act so different. They never seem to be able to understand one another. I'm glad I'm a hermit thrush.
Oh, me too. Really, I am. But still, I do like them, even though I don't understand them.
Like them? I like Farmer Jed and his bird feeders just fine, but that's about as far as I'll go about that.
No, I do. I really do.
Well, what is it then? Out with it. I've got all day, really, all winter to listen. So tell me, why do you like people so much?
Well, I'm not so sure exactly. It's just a story I heard them tell while sitting on the windowsill. You know, over at the white building in the center of town with that pointy thing on the roof? In the summer, on the Sunday mornings when the window is open, I sometimes fly over there and just listen for a while. The music is so nice. I even sing along sometimes.
We'll join Sweet Song in singing hymn number 333 and the words we've rewritten in there in your bulletin.
I
yes, yes. So the music's good. But what about the story you mentioned?
Oh, of course. Sorry, artist. You know how I can easily get distracted, especially when it comes to singing.
I know. But do try to stay on track. My feathers are icy, my claws are achy, and I could use a good story right now.
Well, all right. I'll tell you as much as I can remember.
And with that, Otis buried his beak deep into his feathers and began to listen.
A long, long, long time ago, after God had covered the earth with a great flood for 10 months, a man named Noah, whom God had sent in a large boat filled with two of every kind of animal, set foot again on solid ground. Promising never to flood the earth again, God gave Noah the rainbow as a sign of God's promise. Over time, Noah and his family grew bigger and bigger, and all the animals' families grew bigger and bigger too. And as they grew, they began to spread outwards over the earth. It was in those days that all the people of the earth spoke one language, like the hermit thrushes do today. Some were worried, though, that even though they all spoke one language, that they would be scattered and separated. After all, it's a big world. So they came up with a plan. They would make bricks and mortar and build a great city. And in that city, there would be a great tower with a top all the way up to the heavens, where not even the hermit thrushes could fly. This tower would be amazing, a sight to behold. And they would make a name for themselves. It would be so wonderful and so beautiful and tall and impressive that no one would be scattered, for they would all come to see it and want to live in its shadow. And so, the construction began.
It has been many years since the flood and many years since the construction began in Babel. Still, the tensions and misunderstandings between God and humans has continued. So let us now enter into our time of confession, as we acknowledge our brokenness and seek reconciliation. Please stand with me and pray the prayer of confession as we continue. Babel was started so long ago, and it is still being built today, with bricks and tar, steel and concrete.
Thank you.
and want to live in its shadow. God saw people working together and were capable of doing anything they set their minds to. While some part of God was proud of them, God was also worried. Actually, God was very worried. Worried because God had planned for people to take care of the earth, and God had told Noah after the flood to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the whole earth. How could they do that if everyone lived in one amazing city? Wouldn't they forget to tend to the rest of creation too? If all they cared about were their bricks and mortar.
Is that it? Is that the whole story?
Well, no. It's just the next part is kind of sad. Because God was eager for the people to be caretakers and stewards of the whole earth. But he decided the best thing would be for them to stop building the city and the tower. So God confused the language of the people so that some spoke one language and some spoke another, and they could no longer understand the people at all. And God also scattered the people throughout the whole world. And where the people had once worked together to build a big city, now the city was named Babel, which meant confused. And it remained unfinished. And the people could no longer understand each other. And the people were now in every corner of the world. See, I told you, Otis, it's kind of sad.
The two hermit thrushes were silent for a moment, until Otis broke the silence.
It is sad, in a way, I guess. But then again, it's not sad, too. For it's good to work together, and to understand one another, and to build things together. Sometimes, though, when we work too good together, we lose track of others and everything else besides ourselves. And that's not so good. I'm not saying I really understand the whole story, but it makes some sense to me, I guess, that being united and working together can be good, but it can be bad, too. It must have been hard for God to scatter the people, and I bet it made God sad. But maybe it was for the best, because maybe we can do even greater things when we put our differences together. I don't know why people have to fight so much, though. I still don't understand that.
And with that, Otis and Sweet Song were quiet for a long time, sitting there together with the January wind whipping through their feathers and their beaks staring deep in their downy chests.
Have you ever been so interested in something that you forgot about everything else? Have you ever been reading a book that was so good that you stayed up way too late reading it? Yeah. Have you ever watched a movie that was so engaging that you forgot to make that important phone call that you were supposed to make? Now, it wasn't too long ago I was reading this book that was so good and so interesting, definitely a page-turner, and I couldn't even put it down to walk through. So I put the book up to my face and I walked through the house, but somebody had closed the kitchen door, which I discovered when I walked straight into it, and the book slammed into my face. You know, we can get involved or overly involved in the things and forget about everything else, not just with books and movies, but, you know, with people, our friends, too. Ever, maybe you've been to summer camp and you had a close group of friends and you're having such a great time and it's so wonderful. But you know, you forgot about the other kid who was maybe from a different town or was a little different than you, and you forgot to include him. And maybe he didn't have such a great summer like you did. This can happen to us at summer camp, in our neighborhoods, and even in church, where we form cliques, right? And we gather together and get too comfortable, and we look inward, and we forget to look outward. Well, our story about the Tower of Babel this morning has some important things to tell us. You know, oftentimes when I read this story, I've heard this story talked about that God is mad because human beings are being too upper, trying to be bigger than they really are, and trying to build this tower to the heavens, so God gets mad at them and scatters them. Which think is part of the story. But another part of the story, maybe a more important part of the story, is that God decides to scatter the people, not because they're so uppity or trying to be bigger than they're really supposed to be, but because in looking at that tower, falling in love with the city and the bricks and the mortar, they focus on it and themselves, and they forget to look at the rest of the world. And they forget to be the stewards that God called them to be, stewards of the whole creation, tending to the plants and the animals and the fish of the sea, making sure that they multiply and grow and flourish and create a healthy and vital world. Well, so often when I think of this story, I think about the need for us to look up and to look bigger. And it wasn't until recently where I had seen this story, it's like I had said, about the people trying to be too big, but I think the problem was that they weren't thinking too big, not too grand and too large, but the people were thinking too small. And the story calls us to think bigger, to think out of the box, to think about not just our piece of the world or our corner or the people that we're comfortable with or that look like us, but to think about all of creation and everyone with it. Now, the story's not done. And in just a few minutes, Otis and Sweetsong are going to tell us a little bit more. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to say, but I bet you that they're not going to have us thinking small. I think they're going to have us thinking bigger. Bigger than battle, bigger than the whole world, because they're going to help us think about what God is doing in Jesus Christ, which is about the biggest thing that I can think of. So we're going to sing a quick song together, and then we'll hear again what Otis and Sweetsong have to say.
Hoping there was.
Well, you've got to skip ahead a long, 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 long time to a place not called Babel, but Jerusalem. It was a time when there was lots of changes were going on. A man named Jesus had come and created a whole lot of excitement. He was a teacher and a healer, which might have been exciting enough, but he really got things going after he died. This stuff is hard for me. You see, he didn't just die. He was killed for being a threat to some powerful people. And after he was dead, though, he surprised everybody. And Otis, you won't believe this.
Go on. Go on. Don't make me wait all day.
Well, he surprised everybody by coming back to life again and walking around and talking with people. earth with teaching and healing. Well, this one day, there was a group called the Jews. Jesus and his followers were Jewish, too, by the way. Well, the Jews had gathered in Jerusalem from all over the place for a special festival called Pentecost. Now, if you remember, after Babel, people spoke different languages and were scattered all over the earth. And on this day, the scattered Jews came from all over, speaking different languages, like Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and others. Now, those speaking one language could not understand those who were speaking another. What God had done at Babel was still in place. In a place that was, until the people had gathered in Jerusalem for that festival. That is when the God's Holy Spirit came, blowing like the wind and burning like fire.
Yes? Yes?
Okay, well, just then, the people began to understand languages that they had never understood before. For the first time in a long, long, long time, the people could all understand each other again. As you can imagine, Otis, they were amazed, but also confused about it.
I would be, and I guess I am confused too.
And then, Otis asked the question we all want to ask.
Sweet song, what does it all mean?
I asked that question too, and I've been thinking a lot about these long winter days. I don't have it all sorted out, but I can tell you I think it has a lot to do with Jesus. I think it has to do with his death and his coming back to life. There's something about that, it seems to me, that made it so that people aren't so scattered anymore, like they were after the battle. Something about that means not that people are all the same, not that they all speak the same language, but though even though people are different, they are still united somehow.
Otis looked like he was going to say something. He would open his beak, but then he would shut it again. This went on for some time until he finally found his words.
United? United? Tch. Well, I don't see it. I just don't. United? If fighting is united, then I would agree. But these people, they don't seem to understand. They don't seem united at all. Just a bunch of bickering belly scratchers, as far as I can tell.
Otis went on like that for some time, while Sweet Song listened patiently. As the moments passed and Otis tweeted on and on about fighting people, a song began to form in Sweet Song's breast. She didn't mean it to, it just sort of did. And when she could fight it no longer, she let it come out, as sweet as she could make it, drowning out Otis, who stopped in mid-sentence just to listen.
Christ the Lord has risen today. Alleluia.
Thank you.
open table, open to visitors and longtime friends, open to those who were just born and those who have walked in God's grace for many years, open to believers and questioners and the questioning believers, open to those who live near and those who live far away, and open to all who confess Jesus as the Christ and seek to follow in Christ's way. Come to this sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in need of God's mercy and assurance. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and to pray for a spirit. Come to this table then as you are. Partake and share, for this table is spread for you and me, that we might again know that God has come to us, shared our common lot, and invited us all to walk together as Christ's disciples. Let us be together in prayer. God of Babel and of Jerusalem, God of people and hermit thrushes and creepy crawly things and everything, we come before you now, each from our own corners of the world, each with our own ways and our own languages. From the beginning, God, you have called us and asked us to tend your creation and to tend one another. For many reasons along the way, we were scattered. We forgot what was most important, and we chose to focus on shiny trinkets and our little corners rather than the beauty and wonder of your wide world and your graceful love. Refusing to let us go, you sent Jesus to us to remind us of your love, to remind us of what is most important, and not to make us all the same, but in our diversity to bring us back together, and to end our fighting, and to be united once again in Jesus for the good of all creation. And so here we are this morning, each from our own corners of the world, each with our own ways and our own languages, but still gathered together at this simple table, ready to share simple bread and simple grapes, and in this way, to once again be united, and to once again join together for the building of amazing things. So on this journey from Babel to the table, then, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Consecrate this loaf and this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us that are eating and drinking at this table, that our eyes may be opened, that we may recognize the Christ in our midst and in each other, and be united with all for whom Christ died. We remember that on the night of his betrayal and desertion that Jesus took the bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also after supper, Jesus took blessing it and pouring it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, take and drink all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The gifts of God for the people of God come, for all things are ready. This morning we will celebrate communion together by intinction. If you are unable for any reason to come forward, please do signal an usher that will be standing in the back, and they will serve you in your pews. Know that to be as inclusive as possible, that the cup contains grape juice, and there are gluten-free wafers available upon request. Ministering to you now in his name, we give you this bread and this cup.
Thank you.
You know.
Know what?
When the winter's over and the weather gets warmer, I might just sit with you on that windowsill.
Wonderful! It's the music, right? You're gonna sing with me.
Oh, of course I'll sing. You're not the only one who can sing, you know. But mostly I want to hear more about this story.
I knew it. You like people, don't you?
People? Well, some of them are okay, I guess. Like this Jesus. He seems all right to me. Like the kind who would fill his bird feeders in January. Like the kind who could bring people together. To get them to understand each other. To get them to stop fighting. I want to learn more about him.
And we will, Otis. We will.
And they did. Our Sunday school will lead us out in a sung benediction. Go in peace.